I was married once. Well, actually twice, to the same woman. Our first wedding was a commitment ceremony with no legal recognition from our state. We had been hired to lead a fireside sing-along in the lobby of Lutzen Lodge. On that frigid midwinter afternoon, we drove fast towards the lodge, flying northward along Highway 61. Despite our lingering sense of detachment, as had become our custom, we sought in vain for conversation and common ground. The truth is, we were always too anxious and inept to make any connections stick. As we arrived, darkness set in, covering the sky in an all-encompassing kind of way. Minnesota had recently voted to recognize same-sex marriages. And sitting in the car before our gig, my then-wife presented me with the papers to get legally married. In spite of the fact that we struggled for years upon years upon years to find balance, I agreed to make our union legal as we headed inside to entertain the guests. For 3 hours, we sang harmonious songs near the glowing fire. Despite the insanity and complexity of our actual situation, we felt emboldened to follow through with the legal marriage option. We dug in and went for it. In retrospect, the strangeness and beauty of that day clouded our judgment. On our way to the lodge, we passed through two harbors, the birthplace of my grandparents and my great-grandparents. Feeling pulled by an ancient memory, I took a detour, seeking out the house where my grandmother, Betty Lois, had been raised. It was a tidy place, I'm told, though not a happy one. When I was a child, my mother had driven me by this house, and that singular occasion was all I had to go on in my search. I turned left, then left again, and instantly recognized the old working-class dwelling on the upper side of the block. My wife and I pulled up to my grandmother's house, slowing to a stop, and I was amazed that I'd found it after all these years. I sat there staring out at the tattered old structure, reflecting on family, familiarity, and loss, when something caught the corner of my eye. As I faced the road, I saw a large garden rabbit dragging itself across the pavement, painfully pulling its back legs behind it. I opened the door to get a closer look, and my wife freaked out, screaming, "Don't touch it! Call the police! Oh my God, don't touch it! Call for help!" And despite her requests, I climbed out of our car, lifted the large rabbit up from the road. It was soft and terrified, suffering in the wake of a hit and run that had left it paralyzed. I looked into the rabbit's beautiful dark eyes and with one immense tug pulled its head from its spine as hot tears rolled down my frozen cheeks in a flood of raw emotion. The rabbit's limpness was a relief. I lay the rabbit down in a fetal position at the base of a nearby tree, whispered a prayer, and re-entered the car. My wife and I wept the rest of the way to the lodge, both unaware then that within 6 months we would set off on divergent paths. In the early days of June, as spring disappeared, my wife and I had reached our final impasse. After 7 years of counseling, constant tinkering, and endless striving for change, I stepped forward to do the severing and requested a divorce. It was at the start of our workday. It was messy and rough, like unsticking Velcro. But nonetheless, I said what needed to be said. And with a final act of mercy, we were set free from continuously hauling ourselves across the frozen ground of our fractured marriage. There is nothing easy about breaking a rabbit's neck with your bare hands. And there is nothing easy about leaving somebody that you love, even when you know for sure it is the only choice left. And though our marriage was over, I was resurrected as an individual with eyes to see the world anew. Ultimately, radical mercy required me to get real, to get low to the ground, to embrace pain, and to walk hand in hand with death.